International Radio Report.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Welcome, everybody, to the International Radio Report here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is our funding drive show. If you're new to our program, we're here every week with 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio. My name's Sheldon. I'm here with Jill. And we are in the midst of CKUT's funding drive, an annual event at the radio station here. This is a campus community radio station. And we have to raise money, and we do it through a funding drive every year. It is underway, started last week, and will be running through until March the 24th. So we have several ways for you to chip in, make a pledge to support the radio station, and for our listeners in particular to support our radio show being on this radio station. Our goal this year at CKUT is $50,000. We've been very successful over the years at raising money each funding drive, thanks to you, our listeners. So we have a theme this year. It is Montreal Sounds Like CKUT, and it includes a CKUT-centric map that was designed by a local artist, Amory Sanford, which you can see on the website. So there are two really important pieces of information you need to know today and again on our show next week, and that is how to make your donation. There's a website, ckut.ca/donate. You can check that out, and all the information will be there on that page to tell you how to make a pledge, either by mail, by phone, and online. And you can call. If you want to make an actual phone call to get somebody in the funding drive room to take your information, call area code 514-907-9424. Again, that's 514-907-9424. There are people there waiting to take your call. Ask them about the various prizes that are available and the gifts that are available for certain levels of pledges. And you can pay by check, you can pay by Visa debit, or you can do credit cards as well. Check it out. We hope you will support. PayPal is an option as well this year. So lots of different ways that you can contribute. And Jill, as you know, the amount is not important. We always tell people that.
Nope, not important. And you know what? Nowhere but on CKUT would a show like the International Radio Report exist. And we've got, you know, the chance of having our free airwaves for 30 minutes, thanks to the station. But that ain't free. The airwaves are there, but there's cost to it. It costs something to be on that CBC tower. It costs something to operate the station, the electricity, everything. We need to keep it on the air because we say it all the time how the FM band is miserable in general with all the commercial stations. And the only thing that makes it really interesting is to have these community radio stations, and in case of CKUT, a campus community radio station, that gives a chance to people like us to be here. You can help out by giving us a little something. Any amount helps.
CKUT is on the air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, with a variety of programming. Voices for the voiceless is what we say. Programming that won't make it onto commercial radio stations. People, most of them, as Jill said, volunteers who are here because they want to be here. They have an important message to put out or a unique subject to talk about, such as we do. You're not going to find commercial radio stations telling you about things going on other radio stations or list to encourage you to listen to different programming on different stations from around the world. It's just not something that commercial radio does. So stations like CKUT are unique, and that's why to keep them on the air, we need to do the funding drive every year. So once again, go to the website ckut.ca/donate and get all the information on how to donate there, or pick up the phone, call 514-907-9424, and you can tag your pledge directly to our show. So if you're calling in and you say, I want to support CKUT and the International Radio Report, your pledge and your name will go against our program, which we really do appreciate. You've always been very generous every year in helping us out. We only have a 30-minute show. Lots of other shows have 2 hours or an hour, and we've always done extremely well with your support over the years for our 30 minutes a week. So we hope we can count on you once again. So we'll get down to some stories that are in the news this week. And Jill, you got the first one, something to do with our national broadcaster.
Yes, the CBC. An interesting story here. CBC that gave $15 million in bonuses and a few months later cut 800 jobs. This is by the National Post. Just months after the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation announced it would be cutting 800 jobs, access to information records obtained by the Canadian Taxpayers Federation, the CTF, showed the Crown Corporation handed out $14.9 million in bonuses in 2023. Since 2015, CBC has issued $114 million in bonuses, according to the Federation. CBC President Catherine Tate is wrong to hand out bonuses while announcing hundreds of job losses and begging the government for more taxpayer cash, says the CTF Federal Director Franco Terrazzano. Tate won't do the right thing, so Canadian Heritage Minister Pascal Saint-Ange needs to step in and shut down these bonuses. The records show that of CBC's 7,477 employees, 1,143 CBC staffers took home a bonus in 2023, totaling $14,902,755. The bonus figure is only current to October 26, 2023, meaning the final tally for the year might be higher. Tate, who earns $497,000 a year, told the House of Commons Heritage Committee in January that the public broadcaster faces chronic underfunding and had to stretch limited resources to meet our mandate. Tate was called to testify on executive bonuses and planned layoffs at the public broadcaster. Shortly after her testimony, access to information records showed that between November 1, 2021 and November 1, 2023, Tate billed for $119,000 in expenses, most of which was to attend international conferences and meetings. Tate added that bonus pay is a key part of the total compensation of our non-union staff, about 1,140 employees. A second document obtained by the CTF shows that for the 2023-2024 fiscal year, 6,575 employees have received raises totaling $11.5 million, while 1,450 CBC staffers earn six figures. Previous access to information records obtained by CTF show the number of CBC employees earning a six-figure annual salary has spiked by 231% since Justin Trudeau came to power in 2015. After Tate's testimony, the Department of Canadian Heritage announced CBC's budget for 2024-25 would increase by $96 million to a total of $1.4 billion. The $96.1 million increase was attributed mostly to salary increases following the ratification of collective agreements. So we're being stretched out. It's a tough ride. We have no money. We're giving out bonuses.
You know, for some of our international listeners who may be not familiar with how the CBC works, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation is government funded, which means it's funded by us, the taxpayers. How they can do this is beyond me, and how they cannot be called up on the carpet for it. I mean, they're threatening to do it. Are they going to go through with it, though? I don't know. I mean, just the president alone is making like $500,000 in salary. The mandate of the CBC in Canada is to provide programming, radio and television, English and French, to every Canadian across the country. That is their job. How do you define which ones get a total of $15 million in bonuses when 800 other people are being laid off and that you don't have any money, you need a bigger budget? I don't know.
It's always the same story. Every time I see something, a company, any corporation, like here, the CBC, things are not going right. You have a hard time getting enough money to do what you want. I never get this. Why bonuses when it's a tough time, when you're laying off people? If I'd be one of those 800, I wouldn't be very happy.
I'm not sure why the head of the CBC is going to international conferences to begin with, when your job is to focus on what you do for Canada and Canadians. You know, there's another $119,000 on top of everything else that, you know, in salary. I don't know. Something's broken. Something needs to be fixed, and somebody's got to be accountable for all of this. But it's not new. It's been going on for a long time. It's just when you see it in black and white like this, it's really shocking. Especially, I can't imagine being one of those 800 people and reading that story.
Actually, she needs to go to a conference on how to be efficient.
Yes. Somewhere in Canada, too, without going overseas somewhere. Anyways, I'm sure we'll hear more about this. On to the United States in our next story. And just a reminder before we do that, the website to check out the CKUT funding drive, ckut.ca/donate. And if you want to call in to make a pledge, 514-907-9424. It's really, really important to keep CKUT rolling along and to keep this show on the air as well. So please consider supporting the station and our program. Now, one story we've been following for many months now is the AM for Every Vehicle Act in the United States. And we have an updated story this week. The AM Act gets the 218th voting sponsor in the U.S. House, ensuring a majority. The AM for Every Vehicle Act has hit the magic number of voting co-sponsors needed to pass the legislation through the U.S. House of Representatives. The House version of the bill, led by New Jersey Representative Josh Gottheimer, announced its 218th voting supporter. The surge of four new co-sponsors came the same day that the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, joined state broadcast associations to lobby for AM radio and other pressing broadcast policy issues, a huge victory for those who made the trip to Capitol Hill. The total number of sponsors now sits at 224, with four non-voting members of Congress among the ranks. In response to the news, the NAB posted, "Thank you to the 218-plus members of the U.S. House co-sponsoring the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act. This is an important milestone for the 82 million Americans that depend on AM every month for news, entertainment, sports, and critical safety information." The Ohio Association of Broadcasters President Christine Merritt told Radio Inc. that 223 bipartisan co-sponsors is a significant achievement. "We are so grateful for the support of these members of Congress who understand the critical role that AM radio plays in providing life-saving information in times of emergency and look forward to continuing to build support for the bill." The congressional version of the AM for Every Vehicle Act, led by Senators Ted Cruz and Ed Markey, is only three co-sponsors away from its own simple majority of 51. The measure has been waiting to be scheduled for a vote by Senator Majority Leader Chuck Schumer since July. The majority of votes is needed after Kentucky Senator Rand Paul blocked a bipartisan-driven majority consent vote in November. Senator Paul is seeking to override the AM mandate and instead use the legislation to end electric vehicle subsidies under the American Vehicle Tax Credit. As the bill gets nearer to its goal, the U.S. Department of Transportation is ready to implement it. In a February interview with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg on Chicago's WGN-AM, he addressed the act saying that he is, quote, ready to run with the act the moment Congress gets it done. The act has garnered mass public support with more than 400,000 emails, letters, and social media posts directed to senators and representatives. And that story, I neglected to say at the beginning, is supplied by Radio Inc.
So what's happening with our sun? Well, our sun this week, rather quiet for the most part. Not a lot of activity. Solar activity has been on the decline slightly in the past week or two. But, you know, it doesn't mean that the solar cycle is going down. We're actually, you know, there's a little quiet moments like this from time to time. Propagation was good. And lots of interesting signals out there to listen to. I've tuned the bands quite a lot this weekend. It was a lot of fun. We are in the equinox time where it's you know, easy for any little solar flare or any coronal mass ejection to create geomagnetic storms. So anything can happen if the sun wakes up a little more. The sunspot number is 88. The solar flux, 128. And to witness all of this, well, you got to turn on your radio, but, you know, you can turn on your radio to CKUT 90.3 FM also. And imagine if it wouldn't be there tomorrow morning. No more International Radio Report, no more community radio station programming that is unique and so different from everything else in the bands. Well, if you want to help and make sure that it all continues, you have to go to ckut.ca/donate. Make sure you give a little something. Any amount helps. And if you want to call, you can call 514-907-9424 and go see the website. Go see all the beautiful prizes that you can have and support CKUT.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Yeah, there will be some grand prizes issued at the end as well. And with your various levels of pledges, you get entries into those grand prize draws as well. So you can check that out on the website. Or when you talk to the people on the phone, you can ask them about some of those things as well. So please take the time to do so. We really appreciate it. And it is really, really important.
In our next story, we have Radio Free Asia to withdraw from Hong Kong. Some staff expected to relocate to Taipei or Washington, Dim Sum Daily, Hong Kong, via Stéphane Saint-Onge. Radio Free Asia, RFA, a broadcaster financed by the American government, is poised to withdraw its presence from Hong Kong. Sources familiar with the matter have revealed plans to reassign some staff members to offices in Taipei and Washington, D.C., while others face dismissal as the outlet anticipates a complete exit from the city by the end of the month. This move follows internal notifications made in late February advising the Hong Kong division's employees of the forthcoming changes. Comprised of 4 full-time and 3 to 4 part-time staff members, the team is facing a significant shakeup with individual relocations and layoffs on the horizon. The Hong Kong office is expected to be vacated and handed over by mid-April. RFA is a media entity under the auspices of the United States International Media Agency, which, according to its code of ethics, steers clear of advocating any political stance. Despite this, the news outlet has recently found itself at odds with local authorities over its reporting style and content. On 3rd of January of this year, RFA published a report citing comments from the now-wanted former legislative counselor Ted Wee, prompting a letter to discontent from the police. The letter accused Wee of disseminating false statements and admonished RFA for providing a platform to a criminal for spreading misinformation. Pro-establishment media have labeled RFA as a U.S. agent, a claim that underscores the broadcaster's commitment to following Hong Kong's political developments closely. For instance, RFA's recent coverage on proposed amendments to the definition of fugitives reflects the government's consideration to broaden the scope to include those who have fled for less than 6 months, potentially classifying them as fugitives. Since its inception, RFA has been at the forefront of providing uncensored news to regions in Asia where media freedom is constrained. Its establishment followed the Tiananmen Square protests of 1989, when the United States intensified its effort to launch a government-funded broadcasting organization targeting Asian countries. The concept, championed by then-Senator Joe Biden, became part of Bill Clinton's presidential campaign and materialized with the passage of the International Broadcasting Act in 1994. RFA began broadcasting in September of 1996 after incorporating earlier that year. Despite initial budgetary constraint and naming challenges, the broadcaster has persevered in its mission. Its early days saw strategic moves to extend its reach, such as attempting to acquire transmission facilities near Darwin, Australia, to counteract jamming efforts by China. However, this endeavor faced political roadblocks due to the concerns about straining Australia-China relations. Over the years, RFA has expanded its linguistic footprint, broadcasting in 10 Asian languages to a diverse audience that includes listeners in China, Hong Kong, North Korea, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, and Myanmar. Its programming covers a range of topics, from human rights to political commentary, delivered through various mediums, including shortwave, satellite, AM/FM radio, and online platforms. So a little shakeup here on Radio Free Asia and the staff, some of the staff not really knowing what's going to happen or where they're actually going to end up. Some, as they say, in Taipei, which is in Taiwan, and some of them maybe coming back to Washington, D.C.
We'll see how that story develops further. Certainly, that was an important service getting into the Far East, and them having to relocate or lose some staff will be damaging to that service for sure. Just a reminder, it is funding drive going on. We do encourage you to support the station. Go to the website ckut.ca/donate for all the information on how to make your pledge. Or you can just simply pick up the phone, 514-907-9424, and call CKUT here in Montreal and make your pledge via the phone. You can pay several different ways. You can either send a check. You can use Visa debit, Visa MasterCard, and even PayPal. So lots of different ways that you can make your pledge. And it is, as we said, really important. We'd hate to have a blank frequency of 90.3 in Montreal with the station having to close down, as has happened to many stations out there over the years, you know, that are this type of radio station. So please do take a moment to chip in. Any amount is appreciated. We have a an internet-related story, but it certainly has an impact on radio and the importance of radio around the world. The story comes from The Guardian via our friend Ricky Leung in Calgary, also through Glenn Hauser's World of Radio IO Group. Much of West and Central Africa without internet after undersea cable failures. Much of West and Central Africa has been left without internet service as operators of several subsea cables reported failures. The cause of the cable failures on Thursday was not immediately clear. The African subsea cable operator Seacom confirmed that service on its West African cable systems were down, and the customers who relied on the cable were being redirected to the Google Equino cable, which Seacom uses. The redirection happens automatically when a route is impacted, it said by email. Network disruptions caused by cable damage have occurred in Africa in recent years. However, today's disruption points to something larger, and this is amongst the most severe, said Isik Mater, director of research at NetBlocks, a group that documents internet disruptions around the world. NetBlocks said data transmissions and measurements showed a major disruption to international transits, likely at or near the subsea network cable landing points. At least a dozen countries have been affected by the outage, and there were fears of disruption of essential services in worst-hit states such as Ivory Coast, where the disruption was severe. Africa has a higher proportional of its internet traffic on mobile devices than any other continent, and many of its businesses rely on the internet to deliver services to their customers. Liberia, Benin, Ghana, and Burkina Faso were heavily affected, according to data from NetBlocks, which monitors cybersecurity and the governance of the internet. The internet infrastructure company Cloudflare said in an post on X that major internet disruption was also continuing in the Gambia, Guinea, Liberia, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Benin, and Niger. Namibia and Lesotho were also affected. There seems to be a pattern in the timing of the disruptions impacting from the north to the south of Africa, Cloudflare Radar said. The South African telecoms network Vodacom also blamed connectivity problems on undersea cable failures affecting South Africa's network providers. The impact of such cable failures worsens as networks attempt to route around the damage, potentially reducing the capacity available to other countries, said Mater. The initial disruption may be a physical cut, but subsequent issues could be of a technical nature, she added. So why are we reporting on this story? Because something should be there to replace it if the internet is not working. And if you've listened to this show regularly, you know what we are always telling you is important, and that is radio.
Actually, one of the biggest problems is that these undersea cables can have issues. They could be broken by ships. There are all sorts of things. They can be vandalized also. And unfortunately, the internet, which should have been redundant, should have had a lot of interconnections, today doesn't have as many interconnections as it should. It relies on these really big hubs that, you know, generate a lot of traffic going through them. When one of those cables has a problem, well, it impacts everybody. It's something important to understand that the internet is very, very cool when it works, but relying on something else when it doesn't is important. Radio is part of it.
Yeah, there's some companies looking at that right now, actually using data transmissions via shortwave, which can be a backup in some cases, or can be a primary source of transmitting information. So many countries have dropped their shortwave services. The equipment's been torn down, antennas taken down, transmitter sites shut down. When these services are cut, internet is not there. If there's nothing left behind it to back it up, then there's a serious problem. People are disconnected. I'm surprised how many people have no idea that these undersea cables exist. I was talking to someone about them and they thought, like, are you crazy? What do you mean there's undersea cables to give you internet? They have no idea they just think that it's there and it's always going to be there. This is an important story to show you the vulnerability of the internet.
Most people think that the internet comes through satellites. And it is not, because satellites have too much of a lag. The data transmission, because the satellites are in geosynchronous orbit, makes it too long of a delay between, you know, the transmission. So the best way to do it is through undersea cables. 95% of all the traffic is done there.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure there are many, many people that have no idea that those things are out there under the sea.
Yeah. So we have one upcoming ham radio contest.
Yeah, there is one. It's a fairly unique one. It's called the First Class CW Operators Club CUSO Party. It's 0-100 Zulu to 2359 Zulu, March the 23rd. It's organized by the First Class Operators Club. It's not really a contest, but more of an activity day in memory of Bill Windle, a Gulf 8 Victor Gulf, who's a silent key ham operator, a past chairman of the FOC, who was very keen that we should all be as active as possible on the bands. So they're encouraging people to get on and to send CQBW in memory of Bill Windle. So it is all EHF bands, no except work bands, and the mode is CW. One more reminder about our funding drive for this week. We have another funding drive show next week, but don't wait. Make your pledge early. You can also pledge for other shows as well. Make more than one pledge. If there's other shows you listen to on our station, help support them as well. CKUT.ca www.cku.org/donate is the website for all the information on how to donate, or you can call directly 514-907-9424 and make a pledge via the phone. So if you'd like to get in touch with us here at the radio station and at our program, you can email us radioreport@yahoo.com. Our show does live stream at ckut.ca. We have a Facebook group with a lot of members in it. We welcome Ralph in Dartmouth, Massachusetts, and Jerry in Green Valley, Arizona, joining the group this week. Look for International Radio Report on Facebook. And our YouTube channel, where you can go and listen to the show at your convenience. Just search for International Radio Report on YouTube. We're there at IRR. And we have an X account at IRRCKUT. So check it out. Sign up and participate. Tell us what you think of the program and send along any stories you think might be of interest to our listeners as well. Have a great week, everybody. Continue to make your pledges to support CKUT's funding drive. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you about it and give you some of the results next week on our show.
Let's have a barbecue party. It's a sunny day. Let's have a barbecue party under cherry trees. Green peppers, onions, mushrooms, pumpkins, sweet corns on the cob, thick deep fried tofu. Let's have a barbecue party, it's a sunny day. Let's have a barbecue party under cherry trees. Carrots, tomatoes, sausages, shrimp, squid, marshmallows, potatoes, eggplants, and of course juicy